I'm always thankful when you come back, and for good reason, and that we may worship together and the things that we have, and that we may actually share with one another. How about that?
Yes.
Okay, so this evening I want to talk about something that that I'm saying dealing with self. And the truth is, I want to kind of make this somewhat lighthearted, but it's not necessarily lighthearted. And yet, sensitive subjects are that way. And this isn't sensitive because of us, it's sensitive because of me. And so I want you to understand that as we begin. And so that as we're doing that, 2 Corinthians 12 says this, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. To keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Now it is that last sentence that troubles me, and what we're going to eventually discuss tonight, that it is in weakness that I am, the power of God shows itself. And that's not how I think about it. And so as Paul was making these statements, okay, he's saying, so that I would not exalt myself, I have a number of these things the Lord has given me, I think for a reason, so that there be no exaltation because you're not that good, Daryl. Right. And we understand all that. So, as we come to look at this, I want you to think with me for a second. What are the eight most feared words during worship? I love having your blank faces there. Okay. It is, today we are going to talk about blank. Now, as long as that is something like I just said, we're going to talk about weakness, okay? But if I say, today we're going to talk about Cindy Pettis. Now, I'm not going to look over there because she has told me, do not call my name from that pulpit ever. There are laser beams waiting for me, and if I look over there and she can look into my eyes, she could kill me, see? And we don't want that to happen. So we don't look at her right now because I called her name. But the real truth is not just that fact or the fact that we don't want my name to be called, that it not be identified that I have a problem or that even if it's a good thing. She said, don't call my name even if you've got something good to say. Don't call my name. And that goes on in a very, very real way. And we know that that's true. That you can say something that applies to me, I'll do the applying, thank you very much. Don't you do it for me. Don't you ever do that for me. It's really kind of, oh, she got me. Anyway, so, anyway, I want us to think about that, but I have something that I want to talk about that's along these lines, that fear that someone might talk about you is something that we should have more confidence than that, I would hope. And yet, my sin, my weaknesses are before me, and I want to be better than I am, and I think that that's true with anyone. And that I would prefer for you not to mention any good thing about me so that the indication of my weakness not be offered as well. So if I have this as a strength, you see, the opposite of that could be something else. And that may apply in a place I don't intend to it. I don't want the sermon to point directly at me. As a matter of fact, I have that happen on a pretty regular basis that someone will say to me, I think you were aiming today. And my question is, if the shoe fits too tight, is that my fault? Because I really don't aim. I think that that's unfair and unkind. And so I don't want to do that. And I don't. But I had a lady that told me one time, she says, have you been in my closet? Because it feels like you've been in my closet. And that you know my secrets and that you're telling them to the public. I said, I assure you, I have never been in your closet. She says, it feels like it. Well, I understand where she's coming from. But I want to make the point, and I use Cindy as an example of this, is because I happen to have great respect for her in the fact that when she talks to me, she has good things to say almost every time I talk to her. And what I mean by that, they are godly and that they have been thought, they have wisdom to them, a number of things like that. But I also know that in my class, as a matter of fact, in my classes, I try to stir the pot to the point where I can get Cindy to talk. If I've done that, I have succeeded today because I know that she will occasionally, but she won't regularly. Does she have wisdom and thinking that could be that way? Yeah. But you hear me. She's not the only one. I get to play, Chris Dozier and I play golf, and we actually flog, that's golf backwards, and we go out there and have a good time, even though, you know, a lot of people don't like golf, but we do, and we have a good time. He and I are, in my estimation, very good friends, and he too has good thinking. But don't you call on me, and don't you dare say anything or expect for me to say anything. And he does that for a reason. I think that there's more than just that there. I think that we I've been lucky enough to be in the Smith family at times, and the warmth that they have in their household is just unbelievable, and I want to be a part of that, and yet it's silence in class, and I don't want that. I would like to know who people that have put it together and what they've done and how they apply the scriptures to themselves to have the love of God in their homes, and that they can share them one to another, and they have shared that with me, and that they would share that with everyone. I would have it be that way, but they would say, I'm not that kind of person. I don't do that. And yet they do. You see, when they do speak, it matters. All right, and you're finally coming to where I want us to be, that I will apply the scriptures to myself and I will make them work inside my home. And I think that that is exactly so and the way it should be. But I also say that if you are having something good in your home, you need to be able to share it, don't you? Yeah, yeah. And so under those terms, really what I consider to be a good idea, and that, I'm sorry, I didn't finish my statement a minute ago. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. Now, is that the way we feel about things when I am challenged about what I do think or something along those lines? And you understand that what we're really talking about, don't aim at me, but you have every right to say something to me. But the real point is by the way our society works, we have come to the place where basically, don't be pointing your finger over here. I'll do my own thinking and planning and etc. Now, I want to stop. Now, I put in the foyer, this is the top page of a personality test. And I want you to consider it with me tonight for a reason that we have done this. We've used this in some of my classes at home. And it really identifies a great number of things because, let me just make the point, this is nothing but a form of classification that is man-made and some things along those lines, but it is funny that it has a pretty accurate view about certain things. And so, if you didn't get one, there's one that's in the, you know, you can take one from the foyer when you go. At the very top of the page, the part, y'all can't read that. That's too small. All right. It says at the very, very top above the graph that this is the, boy, even I can't read it, and I'm looking right at it. Natural something anyway, but it means outgoing, optimistic, and outspoken on the axis from the horizontal axis up. It's talking about the people that are on the upper part of the axis are outgoing and outspoken and willing. And they are generally considered doers in the fact that I would rather play the game than to watch it. Don't want to be a spectator. On the bottom half, it says that they are somewhat pessimistic, soft-spoken, okay, and not willing to be. And they were watcher types as far as it goes, analytical in their thinking. They're going to be slower to make a decision. They're going to do a number of things that way. And that is below the horizontal axis. The upright axis on one side, running down the right that you can't read, says task-oriented. And on the left axis, left side of the axis, this vertical, it says people-oriented. Okay, now, with that, then we have people that are willing to be outgoing and outspoken and whatever may be, and you would be either task-oriented or people-oriented, and that you're this and all those things. And then we take a word test, of which this particular one has 40 words, 20 of them being strengths, 20 of them being weaknesses. You choose the word out of 4 words that closest fits you. At the end, we add it all up to see which of these categories you fall in. And so rather than talk about the names of them so much, I want you to see that red, blue, white, and green, that the red is a task-oriented, outgoing person, and they are that naturally. The left side, being green, is an outgoing person, only they're people-oriented, and we understand that. The same is true that the ones that might be watchers or those that are not that are the soft-spoken kind, white, either people person, and the blue, task-oriented. And so we have our 4 categories. Now then, I want to talk about that for just a second. I am top right red. I'm a red. And I'm not a little bit red. Out of 40 questions, I'm 28 in that one. In that particular category. I am task-oriented, and I am given to it in a very real way, and I think in priority. So, also in the personality test that's out there, it gives descriptions of what those people are, their tendencies at home, and all kinds of different things, and I fit that mold very, very well. Now then I'm a 10 in the blue category. And the blue category, I'm still task-oriented, but there are some things in which I will hold my peace and that I will think before I speak and a number of things. That is also natural. I am 1 in 1 in green and white. Means that when my wife said, I have no compassion, she was right. I had no compassion. Okay, now then, the thing is, and the reason that I bring all of this up, is that you have known, some of you have known me for a very long time, and those that know me, would you say that I have no care for other people? And I hope that you are saying to yourself, oh no, Daryl is really, he loves other people. Okay? And if that's so, that would be then my weakness of which I strengthened for a reason. And that reason being God's Word. Regardless of where you are, whatever it is, whether you're on the upper, lower, it doesn't matter, there's going to be some strengths within you, and then there will be some weaknesses within you. And so I want you to also understand, when I married a deep-seated blue or green. Renee is a people person, and if you come to my home, I'm interested, did you learn anything? She's interested, did you have a good time? And we're both outgoing. But it doesn't change the fact that our natural method of doing things, we are opposites. And they say that you're attracted to your opposite. Now, as I'm talking about that, then, do you think that because I have weakness, that should that concern me? And in a way, there's a yes to that, isn't there? If I don't feel that I can do something, I will never do the thing. And so, consequently, the addressing of the weaknesses that are within you is a subject that really you deal with in a very private way, and very few people get to influence. That's why I told you that this is a sensitive subject. So now then, if I don't then invite someone to talk to me about me, then they won't. They may think things, but they don't tell me. And if they don't tell me, I never gain. And so in so many different things, there is a sense of which in business, is it better to raise the peak or to raise the valley? And I'm telling us as Christians, is it better for you at the time that you are in your life to raise the peak, the thing that you're already good at, or should you be raising a valley that needs some work? And that's what we're talking about when we come to addressing our weaknesses. And so as I take that, now I did not want to use necessarily biblical definitions. This is Webster, that being weak is the wanting of physical strength, which would be a deficient in strength of body, feeble, infirm, sickly, debilitated, enfeebled, exhausted, or not able to sustain a great weight or pressure or strain as a weak timber or a weak rope, not firmly united or adhesive, easily broken and separated into pieces, not compact as a weak ship. So we have those things in the physical way, of which I think we understand pretty well what it means to be weak. And then there's a intellectual side of this, not possessing or manifesting intellectual, logical, moral, or political strength, vigor, that sort of thing. So, feeble of mind, wanting discernment, lacking vigor, spiritless, as weak, as a weak king or magistrate, resulting from or indicating a lack of judgment, discernment, or firmness, unwise, thus foolish, or not having full confidence or conviction, not decided, confirmed, vacillating, or wavering. And I would just take that not sure of something. Or not able to withstand temptation, urgency, or persuasion. Okay, so we have our terms defined. And now I want to go to 1 Corinthians 9. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became a Jew, so that I might win Jews, and to those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being under the myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Now, in this statement, we have what Paul is saying is, to the Jews, I will come with the customs of the Jews, the dress of the Jews, even some of the attitudes of the Jews, that I may convince them of Christ and that they may benefit from that knowledge. To the Gentile, I will dress as a Gentile. I will take on the customs of a Gentile for the very same reason. And then when he says, when I come to the weak, I'm going to do the same thing for them. I will be weak with them. And so, let me back up for just a second. When we talk about personalities and all those types of things, if I am a red personality, my wife is a green personality, if she wants me to hear what she wants to say to me, she needs to speak to me in my language. My language is number one, number two, number three, number four, priorities, because I'm task-driven. My wife, if I want to talk to her, I have to talk about how it makes me feel, because she has no 1, 2, 3, 4s in her. It is all about, well, you know how that makes me feel in a certain way. That if I want to connect with her so that she understands what I say, I must have the good sense to talk in their language. Now, my personality is my personality, but also my ability to speak is based in to whom I speak. Ah. Now, when I use 1 Corinthians 9 here, do you not see that that's exactly what Paul is saying? To the Jew, I speak as a Jew. I'm going to use their framework of things. I'm going to speak to them properly. And then if it's a Gentile, I'm going to speak to them as Gentiles and from their frame of reference. And to those who it's not about either one of those things, or maybe it is, I will speak from weakness rather than strength. Okay, and so with that brings the question, what am I going to do with my weakness? You see, the first thing is I don't even want to look at my weakness. And so when I ask this question, it is a true question. What shall I do with my weakness? And the first thing that I have to do with my weakness, and I really want to make that point, is that I must understand it and, based on what has just been said by Paul, address it. And that it may be what I consider to be a weakness within me, but that I would exalt my weakness due to my dependence on God. And that is a point. So, do all the points that say that I'm a red personality apply to me? And I'm going to tell you, not really. There's a good number of them that apply to me, but there's some of them that I don't really see myself being that person. Therefore, my weaknesses that they say are red personality weaknesses, they don't all apply to me either. That I have weakness is so. Okay? And so I am recognizable as that personality type. Okay. Now, are my strengths actual? Yes. Are my weaknesses actual? Yes. And what I will do with my strengths is easy because I am confident in my strengths and I avoid my weaknesses, okay, by ignoring them or giving them no effort and maintain my weakness because I do not have the same confidence in that area. Now then, for us to be adults, and especially adult Christian, we have to know yourself well enough to address your weakness. And the only one that will do that is you. There will be people who could advise you, and you will accept or deny their advice, but I am making the point that I must, if I want to strengthen a weakness, it is going to be by my own effort to do so. And so, back in the old days of Flip Wilson, the devil doesn't make you do it. You did it. And you chose that. And so when Paul says, I became weak to help the weak, he does so for the sake of the gospel and to be a partaker of the gospel. Do y'all understand what I'm saying when I say that? For the sake of the gospel, and to be a partaker of it is involved in accepting weakness not only in myself, but in you. Will I do that? Can I do that? I want to tell you, yes, you can. So giving up my strength for the gain of someone else is part of accepting the gospel. We do it to win the prize, you see. And that 1 Corinthians 10 says that we're not to do as the Israelites do in the wilderness. That we've talked about this recently. We're not to be like they were, where they did not believe and that they did not do what God would have them do. That their hearts were not where God wanted them to be. And that we weren't to be like that. But no, you can't partake at the Lord's table and the table of demons. You can't do that. And what does the conclusion come to? The conclusion was that I will give myself up for a brother. Ah. Would you call yourself weak for doing that? I'm going to tell you, in a very real sense, that may be one of the greatest strengths we could ever gain. And so as we're considering the things that the scriptures went through along these lines, now except the one who was weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions, one person has faith that he may eat all things, and he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Now then, there's our sense that we have God within us, and we know that God will strengthen you. It is not, therefore, my job to be your judge. Does that not say that I need to judge? I do. I need to judge for my sake. And so, what shall my duty be given my personality and my mindset? I've given a lot of thought to this and I don't have an answer. I can only answer this for me. And what I'm saying by that is that I have a personality and that I am an outgoing. I'm willing to meet people. I am willing to talk about subjects that we don't want to talk about. Cindy. I'm willing to take risks. Okay. Yeah, you see, there's, because that's my personality. By the same token, you may not have that in your personality. And now then the thing is, should you add that to your personality because it works for somebody else? And not necessarily. You see, you get to be all of the you that you want to be. And I'm not making that point, I'm saying, but I do have responsibility before God to be able to speak to the Jew, to be able to speak to the Gentile, to be able to speak to the weak, and to be able to speak to the strong. There's a time when those of you that are quiet should rise and speak. And the truth is, I'd like to hear it. That's what I'm really saying. All right, and so, as I look at that, then the duty then, as I do that, is in Hebrews 12, therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. So I address my weaknesses because I must. That my weakness could create a joint that it goes out of joint and doesn't work anymore. Therefore, I strengthen my weaknesses as I strengthen my strengths. Now, all of that is to make something of a point. And I hope that you will hear me. So, are you to do my job? Who's responsible for you? You, not me. Does that lessen our love for one another? It does not. My love for you can be strong. That I am even told to correct those that are in error. Okay? And in Galatians 6:1, it makes it that we do that gently. And then in verse 2, that we bear one another's burdens. That we love one another to the point where that we would care for all men and their burdens, but especially the household of faith, and we have that going on as well. So that as I come to this, you see, what is this that we're to be doing? And it is to be helping, encouraging. And so, I work within the body to make myself the spiritual stone in the temple of God, because that's been assigned to me to do. You cannot do my work. I must do my work. But you can encourage me. So, I have been given a subject for our next class when we on Wednesdays will be on home and family. And a couple of weeks ago, I handed out some things about what do you think needs to be talked about in this class, because we need to understand what God has said, but we also need to know how to put that to work in our homes, because the only ones that are going to see to it that God's way goes forward is us. And so when I asked you to give me that, one would be like a physical kind of thing that is a causes problems inside your home or has sometime in the past, or a spiritual thing along those lines. I only have maybe 5 people that have responded to that. Now I know that you're going to, because I'm up here whipping. that's the idea, and for my benefit, I'm telling you that. But what I'm wanting us to see is that this particular class is meant to address the things that our younger people are going to be facing, and that we already know are coming, that are older, that we may help them to know how to get by these things. How do you talk about what you can't talk about? And I've just chosen the subject tonight. How do you talk about the things we can't talk about? The things that make your spouse so angry that they have no reason within them when you're talking? What do we do for that? And so, it is not simply for those that are outgoing to answer those questions. My appeal tonight is for those that generally are quiet, that we need your help in this class that's coming. But I want to take it beyond that. This congregation needs that help. Don't be silent. When something is wrong, it needs to be said. Maybe your way of saying it is to say it to someone else who will say it. I don't know. But I want us to understand that the dealing with weakness is necessary in any healthy family and any healthy congregation. And so I'm making that as a plea that we need participation, and that when I say, so what do you think, Cindy? That she will give answer for me without having the laser beams light up. And you understand. So the format of this will be that we will have a scripture and some thinking that goes on. And then there's going to be a question that, or several questions even, that may come from it. And that we need to have a discussion of the application of how do you do this? How is this accomplished? And for the sake of God and for the betterment of the congregation, I need the young to speak. Because you see, this isn't simply about being in charge and what you're going to do as a parent. You were a child, and as a child, there are some things that were done that have affected you that I will never do that in my house. Never. Terry told us about one from his childhood. Never am I going to be that person. And you understand. We need to hear who is offended and why, recognizing that we can do something about that. That we need the elderly to speak for the very same reason, that they've been through it and finally conquered the thing that caused so much trouble. And so that we can go through life, okay, and not declare how God's word has affected me for the better. That because I addressed what he would have me address, I became a different person. I'm not the man I was 40-something years ago, 46 years when I got married. And then through life, through the aid of my wife, and through the understanding of all the challenges that have come, we've become different people. And so, if you were to go home, can you go home and have people in your household not speak? Now, I've heard about some of that in some in the teenage years. They let their children go to their room and shut the door, lock it, and say, you have no right to come in my room. And that would, I assure you, I would take that door off the hinges if you tried that in my home. No way. You are one of us, and you can try to act like you're not, but you're going to be one of us until you leave here. But I insist, what is troubling you that we're so bad you don't want to be with us? That I need to hear that. And so, if we're going to be what God would have us be, we have to communicate. And so that we would strengthen your hands and your feeble knees because we need to. And that may be for the sake of the family and not necessarily because of my own need. And so I go back here, and so it makes the statement that we're to pursue men here, pursue men, pursue peace with all men and sanctification in which, without which no one will see the Lord, and see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble and by it many defiled. That we're not going to let bitterness and the wrong things rule. We're not going to let weakness and silence exist. We will speak to the things that need to be spoken of. And as a closing statement, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just to please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good and his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. And so, I hope that I've caused enough that you will try to answer this question. Will you boast in your weakness? Will you accept that we know no one is all strong? And that we are not going to run away and never want to talk to you again, but instead that we would love you, knowing your weakness, and help you with it if we could. Will we love the example of Jesus enough to follow that example? And that is our question for the evening. I hope you say yes. I hope you say yes both to what we do in the class and all that's going to go from there, but I will handle whatever we need to do. But please, as you look at your own homes and you know where the sticky points are, we need to bring that stuff up and talk about how do you get past it. If you're not a Christian, become one. Because you don't get this kind of advice just anywhere. You get it from God. And then for us that have had that advice for a long time, maybe we haven't been applying it properly. If we can help you, won't you come as we stand and sing?